So we're thankful to God. What do you want to see in 2019? You have worksheets, correct? All right. So thank you, Father, for blessing your truth to us. Reveal it, open it, and transform us in Jesus' name. We're going to work on some key areas this next year because we want to have the best year we've ever had, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. And the number one thing that determines whether you're happy or unhappy as you step into a new year, whether you succeed or whether you fail, whether you grow or stagnate, is how you look at things. It's your perspective. So you all have worksheets. Why do we pass those out occasionally? Simply because you'll remember more if you write down some things than if you just listen, right? Your perspective determines your purpose. Your perspective determines your passion. Your perspective determines your place in history. It's how you see things. I'm talking about everything, how you see God, you see yourself, your life, your money. Everything that you have in your life or want to do or want to be in your life is controlled by how you see it, by perspective. And the Bible tells us there's a direct connection between seeing and believing, that faith and perspective are very closely related. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. So you don't see it from a physical viewpoint. You see it from a spiritual vantage point. You've heard people say there's more than one way to look at things, and there's truth in that. Yes, the way you choose to look at things determines these other areas of your life. Generally, you're looking at things with either eyes of fear or looking at things with eyes of faith. That's a choice we all get. I can't change that for you. Even God can't change that for you. It's your choice. Whether you step into 2019 with your life filled with fear, anxiety, worry, nervousness, or whether you're going to look at it with faith and confidence, believing and trusting God, taking some risks you wouldn't normally take because fear held you back. So the way you look at your family, it's with fear or faith. The way you look at your health, fear or faith. The way you look at your career, fear or faith. Retirement, fear, or faith. One of the best examples of this is in this passage in Numbers 13 and 14. It's the fourth book in your Bible, a book written by Moses. And the background is Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They've been slaves there for 400 plus years. They get up to the edge of the promised land. They're ready to go in. Everything God's promised them is ahead of them. And Moses says, before we go in, I want to send some spies into the land to check it out and see what it's like. And he selects 12 people, 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. He sends them in. They go in. They start examining everything. And he gives them specific instructions. They are to come back with a full report. There's a majority report. There's a minority report. 10 of the spies say, yeah, beautiful, but it's filled with enemies, and we cannot take it. They're seeing with eyes of fear. We can't go in. God's already done all these miracles in Egypt, but they've already forgotten all of those. They're afraid, and they say, we can't go in and possess the land God promised us. There's a minority report. Two of the spies says, sure, we can do it. They see with eyes of faith. Their names are Caleb and Joshua, and we remember them clearly, don't we? Later, they're the only two guys of that entire generation who get to walk into the promised land. The people started complaining, and they see, and they get afraid, and they say, we can't do it. And God says, okay, fine. This generation doesn't get to go into the promised land. And for the next 40 years, they wandered in the desert till all of them died. I don't want that to happen to anybody here. I want you to possess this next year with faith. I don't want you to be stuck in the wilderness for the rest of your life. Some have been in the wilderness for months and even years, and it's the way you see your future with eyes of faith or fear. And that's going to determine whether or not you go in and possess all that God has planned for you this next year, or you miss it. And I pray that for our leadership and our community as well, because our future depends on how they look at it, how their perspective is. We need people of perspective of faith leading us. Let's start the story in Numbers 13, verse number 17. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go northward through the Negev into the hill country and see what kind of land this is and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? And then he says, enter the land boldly. And that's the way I want you to enter 2019. Enter it boldly with faith and confidence. Enter the land boldly and bring back samples of the crops you see. So what's he doing here? He's giving them what leaders know as a vision trip. He says, I'm going to send you on a fact-finding mission. I want you to go see everything out here, and I want you to sample it. I want you to taste it, and I want you to bring some of it back. That's a vision trip. They're doing due diligence before they take over the promised land. If you're a leader, let me give you a little leadership tip. Before people can succeed with a goal, they have to see the goal. They have to understand it. If you can't see it in your life, you can't succeed in it in your life. If you can't see yourself healthy, you're not going to be healthy. If you can't see yourself prospering, you're not going to prosper. If you can't see yourself being used by God for his glory, you won't be used by God for his glory. If you can't see yourself finishing college or starting a career, whatever the dream is, if you can't see it, you can't succeed in it. Right? You've got to see it before you sense it, before you even say it. Leaders know whether you're leading a business or anything, you have to help your people see it first. That's what I've been attempting to do. See what God has, the good things God has. Trying to help you see what could be over the next year or so. You've got to imagine it, visualize it, taste it. He says, bring some fruit back so that everybody can see what it's like, what success looks like, what fulfillment is like. And here's what happened. So they spied out all the land from the wilderness up to Hebron. There they saw the Hemonites, the Sheshites, and the Talmites, all the families descended from Anak. It says, when they came to Eshcol, they cut down the clusters of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it back on a pole. And they also took samples of pomegranates and figs. This is really a bountiful country. Amen. It's plentiful. It's bountiful. It's full of ginormous fruit, like it's been fed miracle grow all year round. And it's really in the phrase, a land of milk and honey. And then it says in verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel waiting at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit which they had taken from the land. All this sounds very good. Great prosperity, great fruit, a bountiful land. But 10 of the spies saw the land with eyes of fear, and only two of them saw it with eyes of faith. So they give a negative report. It's a negative report. The people decide, we can't go into this promised land. We give up. We're afraid. And they're going to die in the desert. I don't want you to do that. Amen? So we learn from this story. We're going to learn six things about this when we look into the future with either eyes of fear or eyes of faith. Then we look to fill our eyes with faith so we can move in God's plan and God's promises. So first of all, I get stressed by conflicting information. I get stressed by conflicting information. That'll stress you out. Throughout your life, you're going to hear good news and bad news. And what you focus on determines how you respond. You can focus on the negative or you can focus on the positive. If you don't look with eyes of faith, you're going to be stressed every time you hear. And this happens all the time. 1 minute, you listen to the news, and it says stocks are going up. The next minute, you listen, it says the market, it seems like it's crashing. What are you going to look at? How are you going to see it? Verse 27, this was their report to Moses. We arrived in the land that you sent us to see, because what you see is what you get. And it indeed is a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of the fruit as proof. But the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. Now, who are the Anakin? The Anakin are from the tribe of Skywalker, and the force is strong with them. Okay. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the wrong story. That's next year in December, right, in Christmas, right? So I got confused. The Anakin were actually very large people. Am I in the right church this morning, or are you all hungover from Christmas? Okay, these guys were 6.5, 7 feet tall. They 200 and 300 pounders. For small Middle Easterners, these men look like giants, okay? And notice they said, it's magnificent country, but the people living there are powerful. Look at the conflicting report. Good news, but the biggest problem that's going to keep people from experiencing God's best in this new year is the big but, okay? Everybody has a but in life. I could do this, but I know God wants to do this, but it's those buts that keep you from becoming all God wants you to be. But that I can't do it. But if you're going to let God use you, let go of the buts in your life, the big excuses. Go ahead and laugh. The big problems, the big reasons why you think I could never do this. We get stressed by conflicting information. It's a beautiful place, but there's some bad people in there. Second, I develop a scarcity mentality. I not only get stressed more when I'm looking with eyes of fears, but I also develop what I call a scarcity mentality. And what's a scarcity mentality? It's the idea that there's no room for us. There's got to be enough for everybody, so I better hold on. And I better hoard what little I've got because there's not enough, okay? I shouldn't give anything away. I shouldn't expand myself. I can't take any risks. I have a scarcity mentality. I'm batting down the hatches and just going to hold on until Jesus comes back. That's what happened to these guys. They said, there's no room for us. Verse 29, the Amalekites live in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites, all live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. What are they saying? This is supposed to be our promised land, but it's already filled with people. And these people are our enemies, and they don't want us moving in there. There's no room for us. So why did God even bring us here? There's just not going to be enough land for everybody. When you see with eyes of fear, you develop a scarcity mentality, and you start saying, all the good jobs are already taken. Maybe you need to start a business. Maybe that's what God wanted you to lose your job for. So you would start your own. You start thinking, well, it's all taken up. I can't do anything. That's the eyes of fear. That's a scarcity mentality. I'm going to hold on to what little I've got. I'm not taking any risks. Third, I fulfill my own self-defeating prophecies. What do I mean by that? I mean, the person who says, we can't do it, and the person who says, we can do it, are both right. Because you're going to end up fulfilling what your attitude is. So right now, today, teams are competing for the NFL playoffs. I guarantee you, not one of the players is saying, I can't do this. You don't win championships going in thinking, I can't win. You only go into the game thinking, we can win. And if you tell yourself in advance, I can't do this. This will never happen in my life. I can't get back in shape. I can't get myself healthy again. I'll never get out of debt, or I can't ever get married. I cannot. Whatever it is, I could give you 100 different examples. I could not. By saying that, you begin to fulfill that in your life. You're going to fulfill your own self-fulfilling prophecy. That's called seeing with eyes of fear, developing a scarcity mentality, and fulfilling my own self-defeating prophecies. There were just two guys out of the 12 that went in to spy the land, and they came back and said, we can. They're the only two guys who eventually got into the promised land 4 decades later. God let Joshua and Caleb go into the land. Everybody else said, we can't. And God said, you're right, you can't. You're stuck in this wilderness for the rest of your lives. Because of your unbelief, you don't get to go into the promised land. Are you hearing this today? Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with Caleb said, we can't. There's your negative. We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. We can't take any risks in days of uncertainty. You're going to fulfill your own self-defeating prophecy, and you'll thereby miss the blessing of God in your life. And number 4, I infect others with my negativity. I just don't keep it to myself. When you're negative and fearful and worried, sorry, it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody you love also. You spread it around. Verse 32, they spread a bad report about the land they had explored. Pretty soon, the whole nation is worried. The whole nation is fearful. The whole nation, the psychology, listen, has been passed along. It became contagious. So be careful. It's not just the flu virus that's contagious. There are things that you think and start saying that get very contagious as well. And you begin to spread infection in others that's already infected you. Number five, I see myself as inadequate for my challenges. And that's the sad thing that happens, because people who have the ability to do something with their lives, I've seen it over and again, that get stymied, stagnant, stopped, barricaded by their own negative attitudes. I see myself as inadequate for my challenges. That's what they said in verse 32. The land we explored devours those living in it. Really? Like, really? Isn't that a little exaggeration? Are you listening? Just eats them up, devours them. All the people we saw there are of great size. They're R-O-U-S. I mean, they are huge, rodents of unusual size. And it's like everybody's doing it. No, not really. Everybody's in debt. No, not really. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw giants there. No, not really. You know what happens when you worry about something? It gets bigger. Have you noticed that? When you worry about something, it gets bigger. The more you think about it, the bigger it gets in your mind. And pretty soon you're facing a giant problem simply because you willed it, you worried it into a giant format. We seemed like grasshoppers. Well, we're like insects they can step on in our own eyes. That's perspective. They're seeing with the eyes of fear. They're seeing with eyes of negativity. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Really? That's a classic case of negativity. Eyes of fear caused me to see myself as inadequate. I couldn't ever be a good husband. I can never really become a godly man. I can't make it in that kind of a business. I could never succeed at whatever. Notice these words. The land we explored devours. The word there in the Hebrew means eats it up. Okay? What they're saying is these people are going to eat our lunch. They're like cannibals. Then they said, all the people we saw there are of great size. Then it says, we saw giants. The Hebrew means bully and tyrant. Imagine NFL linebackers in life that you face. Giant, 6'4" and above, people that weigh 250 pounds plus. Then it says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. How do you know how you looked to them? You don't. Now, here's a fact in human nature. We tend to project our fears onto other people. So if you think you're inadequate, you think everybody else thinks you're inadequate. If you think you're unattractive, you think everybody else thinks you're unattractive. They don't think that at all. But because you do, you project it onto somebody else. If you think that you're uncoordinated or that you're klutzy, you think everybody else thinks that you're uncoordinated and that you're klutzy. They don't. The fact is, you don't know what other people really think about you, but you allow your own fears to be projected on other people, and you think everybody thinks that way. Here's the truth. They don't. If you think you're inadequate, well, I could never make that kind of faith commitment to get healthy in the new year. I could never make that kind of faith commitment to get out of debt in the new year. I could give you 100 examples of this. You know, the gyms will be packed out in the first week of January. Sales will go through the roof. Crowds will be outside the doors clamoring to get in. Watch what happens about March, right? And I'm sure everybody else feels the same way as I do, Pat. No, they don't feel what you feel. But they will if you just keep spewing negativity all the time. We all face challenges. Some look at it with eyes of faith. Some look at it with eyes of fear. And we need to change our perspective. Otherwise, we become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And number six, I make myself miserable, right? If I don't look at my life and I don't look at my future with eyes of faith, I just make myself miserable. Nothing's more miserable than to be around somebody who is scared, negative, against everything, thinking it's never going to happen. You want to hang out with people like that? Numbers 14 is what happened after they gave the negative report. Then all the people began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. That's a long time to cry, right? And they grumbled and complained in a great chorus against their leaders. When people are afraid, they start taking shots at leadership. We shouldn't be doing that. That's what fear does. Complained against their own leaders, Moses and Aaron. We wish we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Well, God's listening to that stuff. And that's what they got to do after all. What happens is when I get negative, I throw myself a pity party. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Some of you have been in a pity party in your life. There are three parts to a pity party, and they're all in this verse. Crying, complaining, and second guessing. Never had a party like that? Crying, complaining, and second guessing. When you live with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith, it says they cried all night. They went around moping and moaning and grumbled and complained in a great chorus. It's amazing how our fears cause us to complain about everything and everybody. Then we second guess. We wish we would have died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Do you know that some people would rather die in the wilderness than face their fears? Unwise choice. As your pastor who loves you, I'm going to force you to face your fears because that's the way you get out of them. You have to be confronted with them. The harvest of fear in your life cries and complains and second guesses. And you've got to be challenged with those things that you're saying and you're thinking. And you get stuck there and you miss the promised land God's given to you and handed to you. So what's the antidote? The antidote is to learn to look with faith. I need to learn to look at everything from God's perspective in faith. Look at myself, look at my God, look at my spouse, look at the future, finances, health, my giving, my witnessing. I need to look at everything in my life with faith because faith trumps fear. Faith creates confidence. Faith gets you moving. That's what Caleb did in verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. He said, just calm down, okay? Calm down. You're making a big deal out of this. This is not a big deal. You're stressed out. He silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go at once and take possession right now. We can certainly do this. These are eyes of faith. This is how God sees it and how God wants us to see it. We should go at once and we should do it today. I defeat my fears with movement. I don't just sit there waiting for everything to fall in on me. I start moving. That's a very important principle of life. Doctors will tell you that. It's true physically. It's true spiritually. When you stop moving, you start dying. You keep moving. I don't argue away my fears. I can't talk away my fears. I don't just wish away my fears. Listen, I defeat my fears with movement. You must move against your fears and do the thing you fear the most. This is going to hurt, but I'm going to do it because it's better for me, right? What happens is when you open the door of that closet and you wonder what's behind it waiting for you, you open and realize that disaster is not there. That figure that you feared the most is not there. And you say, that wasn't so bad. What was I thinking? The fear is always worse than the reality. Well, I could go bankrupt. You might, But there are a lot of worse things than bankruptcy, and one of them is the fear of bankruptcy, because the fear of bankruptcy makes you miserable every minute of your life. Fear's worse than what you're afraid of. He says, right now, we should go. We should move against our fears. Now, here's what I want us to know. If you want God's best in your life in 2019, you need to stop listening to your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. You trust the Word of God. We need to stop looking in fear and living in faith. We need to stop listening to our feelings. Your feelings will say, I could never do that. Or I just can't muster the faith to trust God. Stop listening to your feelings. Start looking with eyes of faith instead of fear. Start living with an attitude, I'm trusting the God I serve. The Bible says you believe God will help you, and He will help you, and you will see a miracle. We believe, and then we see. But today, even in the church, well, I've got to see it to believe it. Actually, it's the opposite. I've got to believe it to see it. It's not going to happen until I believe. You believe God will help you, and then you'll see Him go to work and perform a miracle. You don't see the miracle and then believe it. No, you believe it and then you see it. Jesus had a couple of friends in the city of Bethany, a little town of Bethany, outside of Jerusalem. Spent a lot of time with them, the three of them, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he would spend the night there. It was kind of a little overnighter place for him. Had meals with them, and Lazarus, their brother, grew very ill, so sick that he died, and Mary and Martha were grieving, and Jesus shows up, and they said, Lord, if you'd have been here sooner, you could have healed him, and he said, I'm right on time. I'm here right on time. I didn't want to heal him. I want to raise him from the dead. I let it get worse. Worse than you ever thought it could ever be or should get, because I wanted to do a larger miracle for you to see the God that I've come from. That's true in every life. He wants to do a bigger miracle in your life, but you've got to trust Him. Jesus said this to Mary and Martha after their brother died in John 11, didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe? You will see it if you first believe. So here's my question. How badly, going into 2019, do you want God's best in your life? How much do you want to see God's blessing in your life? How much do you want God to use you next year? Have God work His best will and plan for your life. Then stop nursing your worries and stop feeding them by thinking about them constantly. You've got to make some faith commitments that whatever areas of life that you struggled in, you're going to have success with them because God's going to help you. And you're going to need to step out and move against that fear in faith. And when you do that, the spirit of fear vanishes. Disappears. When you resist that spirit, he flees. And you think, what was I thinking? Why didn't I trust God sooner than this? We need to say, Lord, I want you to open my eyes. The Bible calls those eyes the eyes of your heart. You start seeing with spiritual eyes, as God would view it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. There's a song we used to sing about that. Open the eyes of my heart. Help me to see this next year with eyes of faith, not eyes of fear. Well, how do I do that? How do I see God's plan? How do I uncover the purpose He has in my destiny? How do I see it? Quickly, three steps. They're just starter steps. First, I need to invite Jesus into every room in my life. Not just rooms that I want Him to take over in, but rooms that I really don't want Him going exploring in. I need Him in every room in my life. He's not just the slice of the pie of your life. He's the whole pie. He's everything. He permeates every taste of that pie that you want to take in life. Your heart is like a home with many rooms in it. You have a family room where you give attention to your family. You have a work room where you give attention to your work. And you have a relaxing dining room, a place where you just sit back and enjoy fellowship. You have a garage where you pile all your stuff. I've seen it because your doors are open when I drive by. It's kind of, yeah. You need to know that every room that is not filled with Jesus is filled with worry. Because when Jesus enters a room, he fills it with peace. So why are you afraid to let him in that room? He'll just bring peace. So any area of your life where you're worried, areas of your life where you're upset, areas of your life where you've grown anxious and nervous, those are areas of your life you have not given yet to Jesus. Because when Jesus walks in the room, he fills it with peace. And so your worries reveal to you the areas of your life that are not under Christ's control. You're worried about finance, not under the control of Jesus. You're worried about your job, not under Jesus' control. Whatever room is not filled with Jesus is not filled with peace. It's filled with fear and worry and anxiety. Jesus said this in John 3. If I want to get eyes of faith, if I want to see how God can see my life and perspective from him, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. Interesting take on that, isn't it? You can never see the kingdom. If you want to see from God's viewpoint, God must permeate all rooms of your life. And there's not a better time to do it than the time right now as we approach a brand new year. Don't make it like the last year. Make this new year the better year. Let's start this year with Jesus in every room of our lives. When you're born physically, God gives you a set of five physical senses: hearing, taste, touch, smell, sight. In these five things, you hear things, you see things, touch them, taste them, smell them. Everything you experience in life, you experience through five physical senses. Spiritually, when you're born again, God gives you a new life spiritually. And these are the senses now you want to really rely on. You get a spiritual sense. You get spiritual eyes, ears, taste, touch, and smell. Spiritual eyes mean you see things you normally wouldn't have seen before. Like you're reading the Bible and you look at that and you say, well, I've read that before. And boom, it just leapt off the page at you. Wow, I've never seen that like that. God just opened the eyes of your heart in that moment. You saw with spiritual eyes. You've got spiritual ears now. You hear people say things you would have missed before, but now you stop and you go, you know what? I can help them with that. And God lets you hear that so you learn how to help and come alongside, because that's how he builds his church. God gives you spiritual touch, and all of a sudden your touch, just a pat on the back, can help somebody, can encourage people in a way normally it would never happen. God gives you a set of spiritual senses when you're born again. And that includes being able to see what he wants to do in your life. So you've opened your life up to the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Lord. Amen. And second, I need to take my first step of faith in baptism right after I'm born again. A lot of people don't realize how important baptism, water baptism, is in unlocking God's power. Baptism is the way that expresses my faith in Christ publicly, okay? Jesus said everybody should do this. Step one is publicly saying, I'm not ashamed to identify myself with Jesus Christ. That's serious. And water baptism shouldn't be delayed. Now, I'm not talking about being baptized as a baby. Many were dedicated or christened or baptized as babies. Jesus was dedicated as a young infant. But when he was 30 years of age as an adult, he went down to John the Baptist at the Jordan River and was baptized in that river underwater. Why? Why would he do that? Because he wanted us to do it. Jesus didn't want you to do it. He would have never done it himself. He modeled everything he did. And he was saying, yes, I was dedicated. Yes, I was christened as a baby, but that was my parents' commitment. Right? Now, this is my commitment. I'm making the choice. And so he goes down underwater as a 30-year-old adult when he was baptized in the Jordan. Why is that important? Jesus says, if you're ashamed to publicly identify with me, I'll be ashamed of you when I return in my glory. Not being baptized blocks God's power in your life because you haven't taken the very first next step of faith so you can get on with the future that God has. The Bible says, when you are baptized under water, you are buried with Christ. That's why we baptize by immersion. Every baptism in the Bible symbolizes a burial. You die to an old way of life. And when you're raised up, that's being raised up out of the water. I'm raised with him through faith in the power of God. So if he brought Christ back to life, he can bring a dead marriage back to life. He can bring a dead career back to life. He can bring a dead dream back to life. He says by baptizing, you are expressing your faith in the power of God to raise from the dead. Because that's what he's done for every one of us. We were dead in our sins, and he raised us to new life. In the Word, there's a deacon by the name of Philip in the book of Acts. Walking down a road after he's leaving a red-hot revival. I mean, the whole town of Samaria is turned upside down. He's out preaching, this deacon, in the early church. And then he calls for the apostles to come. He says, we need these people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can you all come down here from Jerusalem and help us with this? And the Holy Spirit says, now you need to leave and go down this road. You know, what? Yeah, leave the revival. I need you to meet somebody. And there's a divine intersection. He meets an Ethiopian high official, the treasurer of the nation of Ethiopia, leaving Jerusalem, driving his chariot. And while he's driving his chariot, he intersects with Philip, who's now left this revival in Samaria. And the Ethiopian is reading from the book of Isaiah and doesn't comprehend what he's reading. And Philip hops up into the chariot with him and explains what it is he's been reading. And he's been reading from Isaiah 53, talking about Jesus. And the Ethiopian leader immediately receives the Lord and then says, hey, there's water over here. What prevents me from being baptized and becoming a follower of Jesus? And Philip says, nothing. So they stop right there and they baptize the Ethiopian official. By the way, the earliest record of the earliest church in anywhere in the continent of Africa is in Ethiopia because of the influence. When he went back, I mean, he brought the gospel with him. And that was a divine intersection in the timing of God. Now, the man didn't have to take a class. He hadn't been a Christian for a long time. He didn't have to have his life perfect. He just had to say, I want to publicly identify with Jesus. I can't think of a better time to be baptized than the first weekend of the new year, a week from this Sunday. Start the new year right by being water baptized. Have a Nike baptism. Just do it. Amen. Just do it. Don't wait. Don't delay. Just do it. Right. And third, do whatever God tells me to do. Obedience is the third principle that unlocks the power of God in your life. Obedience impresses God. He said it's better for me, when he receives our actions, obedience is better than sacrifice. Those are God's words. In Numbers 14, Joshua with Caleb, we saw the land ourselves, and it's very good. And if we obey the Lord, he will surely give us the land rich with milk and honey. If, see the qualifier, if we obey the Lord. So he says to them, don't rebel. We've got no reason to be afraid of the people who live there. The Lord is on our side, and they won't stand a chance against us. You know, all the stuff that you're worried about, it doesn't stand a chance against you if you will obey God, if you'll do what God says. The Lord is on our side. I said the Lord is on our side. Amen. Wow. What does that mean, obey? Do what he asks. So when the pastor gets up and says, time for tithes and offering, I can't pay my bills if I bring. See how you're looking at it. It's fear. Do I trust God? I'll obey him. I will obey him. He will help me. He always has. These guys have forgotten that God had prepared their promised land hundreds of years ago for them. Then he did miracle after miracle after miracle in Egypt, defeated the most powerful nation in the world, and bankrupted that nation when they left by making them take from the Egyptians reparations for all the years they'd served them as slaves, brought them out miraculously, healed every one of their infirm, and they all left there healthy, fed them manna every single day, and now they're standing on the edge of the promised land. God has provided for them, and they said, we're afraid. So God says, so be it. You will die here in the desert. The whole generation died in the desert, walking around in circles, until a generation arose that would believe God, and then God let that generation go and take the promised land. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is in Hebrews 3 and 19, and it speaks about the people I've been preaching about this morning. It says, so we see that they were not able to enter. They didn't go into the promised land. They never acquired what God had promised. They missed the blessing God had for them. They missed their destiny. That's pretty serious stuff. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief. It was their fear. It was their worry. It was their anxiety. It was their unbelief. I don't want you to miss destiny next year. I don't want you to miss the purpose God has for each here at Calvary Christian Center, because he has equipped this church with gifts and abilities and people with skills. When we're all doing what we're assigned to do together, fitted together as God has put us together, wow. I don't know about you, but I'm anticipating a great new year. Amen? A great new year. Well, let's go for a new year. A wonderful new year. And we can do this. I said, we can do this. And Joshua said, we will surely receive that rich land of milk and honey if we obey the Lord. We've got no reason to be afraid. The Lord is on our side. They won't stand a chance against us. And so when those old feelings begin to jump up and start speaking, and then you start verbalizing them, how many want a great new year? Anybody here want a great new year? Rebuke the spirit of fear when it begins to vocalize, and embrace the love of God that he has for you and the destiny he's designed you for, because he's given you his power and his love and self-control so that you don't let your feelings take you all over the map. Soundness of mind. My mind is renewed. Not compressed into the culture, but transformed and renewed by the word of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together, everybody, and bless the name of the Lord for a moment.